Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for joining us. And today I'm joined by Pastor Margaret Michael, one of the pastors at our church here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And she's been on Front Porch Talks with us before. Pastor Margaret, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So, Pastor Margaret, if you'd like to just start off mentioning what we're going to be talking about today.
Okay. Actually, I would like to talk about prayer, and it is certainly not that I have figured it all out. I think today I'm wanting to talk about it just because I'm challenged to be more intentional about going to the Lord in prayer. On Thursday mornings, we have prayer here at the church. We have a men's prayer early in the morning. I believe that starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, doesn't it?
Yeah, 6:10. So I don't know how Dad came up with that, but yeah.
Well, by 6:10, everyone should be there. We start at 8:30, the women do, and we usually meet here at the church and spend about an hour in prayer on Thursday mornings. And last week, I told the ladies, I said, why don't you all show up about 8:25 or 8:30. If you come much after 8:30, you might miss out on something. So this morning, as I pulled on the church parking lot about 8:20, there were women already gathering here at the church. I pulled the bus up to the front of the church, and we took prayer out to the streets this morning. Sometimes I think it helps just to get into a different setting. I feel like we can be in a room here at the church sometimes, and we tend to, our minds stay here with each other and with what's going on at the church. And so this morning, my heart was just to go out to the hospital and pray around the hospital. When we started our women's prayer, we started out with The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. And he shared in that book this idea of praying circles around a place where you want to see the Lord make a difference. And so this morning, we took prayer on the road. Some women chose to walk, and some chose to ride in the bus and pray, but we certainly prayed over RMH, the doctors, the nurses, and those that are there in the beds, from the newborn to the person that may be looking at the end of their life today. And so this morning, my heart is invigorated by prayer, and I would like to share, I'd like to start out by sharing the devotional that I shared with the ladies from Oswald Chambers. And this is, it's not today's devotional, but it's one of those devotionals in My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. It's one that's quite marked up in my book, in my devotional book. And the scripture for today's devotional is John 14:12. I say to you, he who believes in me, greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And he begins the devotional, prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. Yet we think of prayer as some common sense exercise of our higher powers that simply prepares us for God's work. In the teachings of Jesus Christ, prayer is the working of the miracle of redemption in me, which produces the miracle of redemption in others through the power of God. The way fruit remains firm is through prayer. But remember that it is prayer based on the agony of Christ in redemption, not on my own agony. We must go to God as his child, because only a child gets his prayers answered. A wise man does not. And that comes from Matthew 11:25. He goes on to say, prayer is the battle, and it makes no difference where you are. However God may engineer your circumstances, your duty is to pray. Never allow yourself this thought, I am of no use where I am, because you certainly cannot be used where you have not yet been placed. Wherever God has placed you and whatever your circumstances, you should pray, continually offering up prayers to him. And he promises, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Yet we refuse to pray unless it thrills or excites us, which is the most intense form of spiritual selfishness. We must learn to work according to God's direction. And he says to pray, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest," from Matthew 9:38. There's nothing thrilling about a laboring person's work, but it is a laboring person who makes the ideas of the genius possible. And it is the laboring saint who makes the ideas of his master possible. When you labor at prayer, from God's perspective, there are always results. What an astonishment it will be to see, once the veil is finally lifted, all the souls that have been reaped by you simply because you have been in the habit of taking your orders from Jesus Christ. And so this devotional has been powerful in my life. I may have even shared it on here before, but I believe that prayer is so important that it's okay to repeat a good thing if we're doing that. And so just thinking about this idea that prayer does not equip us for greater works, that prayer is the greater work. And that's where we can come in when we're in relationship with Christ. He does something in us when we come to him in prayer that is even beyond the answer to prayer, in that relationship that, and this scripture or this devotional really speaks to that. It says the way fruit remains firm is through prayer. But remember that prayer is based on the agony of Christ in redemption, not on my own agony. And so we're in this battle, and the way we fight is on our knees.
Yes, Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, one of the things that stuck out to me, you were talking about the greater work and how prayer is the greater work. So oftentimes we come to God, you know, when we're in a desperate place.
Right.
Or when we're in trouble, as opposed to coming to him all the time or coming to him before we're in need, asking for guidance and direction about our day or protection.
Right.
And I think he wants us to come to him no matter what our situation is. And like you were saying, if we pray and we're faithful to pray in all circumstances, then we will be surprised at the difference that it makes. You know, maybe not so much. I mean, certainly prayer can change circumstances.
Absolutely.
But it will also change our outlook and our attitude, I think.
Right.
And also help us to know how to handle those situations.
Right. And the Lord just brought this to my mind. I wasn't planning to share this today, but he brought to my mind a book that I read when I was a pretty new Christian. The name of the book was called Lord, Change Me. And I remember I was actually in a grocery store. I was out of town, and I had ran in a grocery store for some things for us while my family was out of town. And I saw this book on the choice book rack and picked it up. And while I was waiting on my family, I began to read. And I was reading this book, Lord Change Me, by Evelyn Christensen. And this idea of, instead of praying and expecting God to change everyone around us, this idea of the book was, Lord, change me. And it was a book written probably, it was in the late 60s, early 70s. And this mom was writing this book, and her daughter had told her, she said, her mom was telling her how to live her life. And her daughter said, "Mom, I don't need your philosophy." And so this mom knew that she needed to change what she was doing, and she needed to go to prayer. She needed to go to the Lord with these things instead of speaking them on the ears of a daughter that was not open to hear. And it became a testimony of hers and her daughter's. As she began to pray, God began to change the mom's heart for her daughter. And when that happened, the daughter's heart for mom changed. And it was an internal job. The Lord gave me this thought this morning. I believe that it was his thought. This idea that we can look at people from the outside and we can tend to make assumptions of people, and that becomes a religious thing a lot of times, especially when it comes to the church. And the Lord taught me through this book early in my Christian walk that He was more interested in what He was doing in me and me focusing on allowing Him to change me, just like He had changed that mom. And I love how when we have these experiences, like here I am, I'm learning this new thing as a Christian, and my husband and I were in the midst of a slight tiff, you might say. Suddenly, I just read this chapter in this book, and now I'm in this situation. And the Lord reminds me what He just had me read in that book. And I responded differently from how I would have normally responded. And instead of wanting to state my claim, I was able to just not try to get my way in this situation. And these are the things when we allow the Lord to work on us internally and through prayer, it changes how we respond, or it should change how we respond to those around us. And that's our heart, is we want to be in this relationship with the Lord where He is changing us from the inside out, not so much us looking around and seeing what is wrong with others. It causes us to respond differently. And in this day and age that we live in, there's a need for us to be a different response. And I really do mean that we need to be a different response. It's easy to fall into seeing and being a part of some of the controversies that we hear in our day. And we must be in prayer if we are going to have a different response, to be a healing balm to the world around us. We either get our perspective, I will say often, we either get our perspective from looking up, that vertical relationship with the Lord, or we get our perspective from what is around us. And it's easy to get pulled down into looking on our horizon, looking around us, and finding our attitudes or our focus from that which is around us.
Well, Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, some of the thoughts that came to my mind were, first off, in our prayer time, we need to ask God how maybe He can better us instead of trying to fix others. We need to focus on our own, look inward on ourselves, kind of do a self-evaluation and ask God to do an evaluation. Mm-hmm. You know, search me and know my ways and see if there's anything that offends you.
Right.
And also, I was thinking about the scripture verse when you were talking about how we don't want to be the ones causing controversy in our world where there is so much controversy. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And also, you were talking about that book you were reading where the mom was talking about a situation with her daughter, and once she focused on being an example for her daughter as opposed to try to telling the daughter how to live her life, she noticed the change. And you only realize these things, I believe, through prayer, spending time in Christ and letting Him speak to us about how we can be as opposed to doing, like you were saying.
Right, right. And, you know, I was actually just looking, reading the scripture this morning, and I was reading in Mark, and I was reading about when the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. And it's so interesting because I thought, well, I want to back up and see you know, what was going on that the disciples, you know, what was going on in their world before that storm came? Because, you know, that was a storm in the physical sense, and we still see storms, but we also have storms that come at us in the spiritual sense that come out of nowhere. And if we're not prepared for them, what, you know, how will we respond? And I was just thinking, you know, what was going on? And I just started flipping back through the book of Mark and begin to think about, here's Jesus. He's, if we flip all the way back to chapter 1, you know, Jesus comes along, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he begins to invite these guys to walk with him. They fishermen, were, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. And so Mark reports to us, the first thing Jesus did is he cast out an evil spirit. And he began to heal people, and then he began to preach. And he's being a model. He's showing the disciples what he's modeling for the disciples, really who he is. You know, he's been around about 30 years, and now he begins to step into this role that he was brought to earth for. And he begins to model these different things. And he brings the disciples around him. He chooses his apostles and he begins to tell parables. And he's teaching them things from the land, from the sea. And he's given them a lot. He's given them a lot to chew on, really. And just like us, and we are sometimes, we just don't get it. Now, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have an advantage. But he went to the point that he calmed the storm. And he said to them, "O ye of little faith." But he didn't say, "You have no faith." And when we find ourselves, you know, in a storm, really kind of like this lady had found herself in a storm with her daughter, because of her relationship with the Lord and because of her prayer life, she responded differently. She became present in her life, not to change her daughter, but she just said, "Lord, change me." I mean, I've read this book years ago, and this still challenges me. Because we can so easily get into a thought that it's someone else that needs to change. And God wants to change us from the inside out. He causes us to look inward when we can come before him and just lay our life out before him. He'll show us our motives. Because we're here for a reason. It's about the lost. It's about the harvest. And just as the harvest was great in that day, it is today too. And the Holy Spirit wants to come, and he wants to work in us and through us. And our joy, we're on this sermon series right now here at the church in the book of Philippians, and we are called to have joy in the midst of our circumstances. And this is something that is so important in today's age, when it's so easy to get caught up in how do I feel about this or how do I feel about that. We have a great example here at the church with your dad, with Pastor Carey. And knowing that it's more about the relationship of being faithful to the Lord and seeing those around us as our brothers and sisters, as knowing that we're called to be present in our world, where we are, to be the love of Christ and to extend grace. I mean, Jesus, what an example we have to follow. And Oswald Chambers says in this devotional, he says, "Never allow yourself this thought, I am of no use where I am, because you certainly cannot be used where you have not yet been placed." And I think there's something in us that we're always looking for the next thing, or what's God, you know, what's he going to do with my life? And he just wants our life. He wants us to be content in the present. Jesus desires to be present through us, for us to be an extension to those around us.
Well, Pastor Margaret, as you were talking and as you were telling the story of Mark about how, you know, they didn't understand or whatever, how he said they had little faith. Mm-hmm. It didn't say how they didn't have any faith.
Right.
So that's important, even in hard times when it's hard for us to understand, and we won't always understand.
Right.
It might be years later, maybe even after we've gone on to be in heaven one day before we understand some of the things that happen in our life. But I think we can gain better understanding through prayer. God will at least direct us and let us know that, you know, this is what he's saying, even if it doesn't make sense to us. And the Bible also says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
Right.
So little faith is better than
yes.
no faith. So those two things really stuck out to me about how prayer gives us understanding. And also, you know, it gives us perspective, I think, and also a heart for the lost. You were talking about how, you know, the harvest is plentiful.
Yes.
He was saying in the Bible it's plentiful, and that still applies to today.
Right.
And I still think the workers are probably few.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we let God know that we're available to help be a witness to those around us, mm-hmm. to bring in lost souls for his kingdom.
Yes. You know, the scripture, it's a familiar scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And until we can come, and till you and I can come to that point where we come to the Lord and we allow him to bring ourselves to a place where, and this might sound a little crazy, but it's the scripture I just read, where we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We have to learn to love ourselves. We have to be able to accept the love of God before we can ever share that love of God with others. And so, you know, when Jesus, after this time that he's walked with the disciples, he's went to the cross and was resurrected, and he goes to the disciples after the resurrection, and Matthew 28, starting with verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted." Has an exclamation mark. "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And we see the humanness of the disciples in this scripture. Even after they saw him, after he was resurrected, it says, "And some of them doubted." We are so human. And Jesus loves us through that. And I think the one message that I would have today, the one thing that's really been on my heart is, if we are going to go and make disciples, and that's really by living our lives where we are, getting our instructions from the Lord, if we're going to go, we have to come to Christ, and we have to make sure that he is the one that is filling us with his Spirit, that he is the one that we are getting our needs met through. And we are coming to a place where we are getting our affirmation from Him. And we leave the past behind us, whatever that looks like for each one of us, and we press on to the goal, that the goal that Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians. And this idea of, he talks about the heavenly prize in Philippians 3, and I've studied that. It's this idea of knowing Christ. If the heavenly prize was heaven, it would say that heaven is our prize. But it talks about there in Philippians 3 that it's a heavenly prize. That is this idea of knowing Christ and knowing Him personally and becoming more like Him as we journey on this earth. And as we do that, I believe the Lord will send us out to our family, to our co-workers, to those in our church, wherever we might go. It may be a divine appointment that you find yourself in a grocery store or wherever you may be. He will use us to be His love and His mercy in the most unexpected places. So let's come before Him and then let's go. And really, to go, therefore, simply means to live. And so that idea of let's go live Christ wherever He would place us.
Well, thank you, Pastor Margaret. Certainly, this has been a great conversation today, and thanks for joining me. And thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it has been a half hour of hope for your life. Here's our friend Sheila Muskin singing Down in the River to Pray.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.